You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we aren't going to waste any time. We're talking about Dallas right now. The 2-4 Cowboys looking to reclaim their spot atop the NFC least. You guys got that one. When they take on the 1-5 Washington football team on Sunday, the Cowboys currently trail the Eagles, who lead the division after last night's win over the Giants. Max,
yeah.
What would a win mean for the Cowboys?
Well, first place. First of all,
not
they would have
thing,
they would take a commanding half-game lead in the NFC East. It actually is me. Look, I'm a Giants fan, and I'd like to sever for Trevor. I mean, sever ties with Daniel Jones, who actually is still showing promise. I don't know. Without an offensive line and Saquon Barkley and with Gettleman trading away all the talent at wideout and Evan Ingram dropping a ball, Daniel Jones might be good. But Trevor Lawrence looks like he'll be great. And so as a Giants fan, I'm watching the game hoping to sever for Trevor. But what happens in a close game, even when you think you're rooting for your team to lose so you can get a better draft pick, you can't help it, especially against a divisional rival. You root for your team. You don't choose what you root for.
It you can't help happens. Who you love.
And as pathetic as this NFC East is, and as much as teams maybe should be jockeying, at least not the team should be, but the fans should be hoping that you're jockeying really for draft position, the fact of the matter is, when you have a chance to take first place, that's meaningful for the fans. Because who knows, you may get into the playoffs and maybe you can win a game. The Cowboys have a chance to be up on the Eagles after this game. And it's a divisional game. And Andy Dalton was like an average-ish starter for a lot of his career. And then it looked like he's, toward the bottom of the starting quarterbacks. Maybe a good backup. But the fact is, you thought he was a good backup, and he had a miserable performance last week. You want him to get on track if you're a Cowboys fan. You want him to show signs of something. Even if Washington's front seven could pose problems, you would hope that Dallas would be able to formulate something where Andy Dalton, even if he doesn't win the game, at least doesn't cost you the game through an anemic offense, the leader of an anemic offense, that Ezekiel Elliott has more success even behind the porous offensive line nowadays for the Cowboys, and they could do something resembling anything, because if they do, they should beat this pathetic Washington team and reclaim first place in maybe the worst division of all time, Stephen A.
A win for the Dallas Cowboys this weekend would mean absolutely positively nothing other than a number in the win column. I mean, first of all, they're playing against a team that doesn't even have a name. They're the Washington football team. They didn't even put DC out there. We don't know whether it's Washington or Washington State, for crying out loud. They didn't even put DC in there. Could you at least say Washington, DC? They didn't even do that.
You should just call the DC team.
How about DC? I mean, the nation's capital. That's all. You couldn't even do that. That's number one. Number two, who's their quarterback? Is it Dwayne Haskins? Is it Kyle Allen? Is it Alex Smith? We don't even know who the quarterback is. So we don't know the name. We don't know the quarterback. Who's their wide receiver? We don't care. Who's the tight end? We don't care. We know they lost five straight. You know what the Washington – I can't even say. First of all, you didn't want to say the name before. Now there's no name to say. It's never happened. I don't know. I don't recall this ever happening in the National Football League history.
Listen,
let's put things in its proper perspective, okay? Here's what we know, and I'm not joking when I say this. I'm being incredibly respectful. I want everybody to understand. The Washington football team in the National Football League has made news for four things this year, and four things only. The hiring of Julie Donaldson, senior VP Media Relations, the brother that they hired to oversee operations on the business side after unloading Bruce Allen, Ron Rivera's battle with cancer, and we wish him nothing but the best, okay? And the fact that Dwayne Haskins has gotten benched. Oh, and if you want to add a fifth storyline, which is an incredibly good feel-good story, Alex Smith and coming back after that nasty leg injury 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, We are happy to see him on the field. It was a beautiful sight to see his kids. And Jason Wright is president, right? You have, so Julie Donaldson, Jason Wright, Ron Rivera's health situation, Dwayne Haskins being benched, and Alex Smith returning to the lineup with his beautiful wife and kids in the stands. That is what an NFL team in 2020 have made news for over this entire NFL season. There is nothing else relevant about the Washington football team. The Washington football team. You can't even give them a name. I mean, you call them the Washington Warriors or something. I'm just saying, is it just me or does anyone see how bad that is?
By the way, what you say
about
them making news, in fact, that they don't have a name because they were scandalized eventually into dropping their despicable name, which I told you Daniel Snyder would do years ago. Mm-hmm. And they were so unprepared for the moment, they didn't even have a name to replace it
with.
That's a good
point.
Pathetic. One. Two, the reason for all the new hires, Stephen A., in the front office is they were scandalized into that, too, by a rotten culture that was publicized.
Fine, but I'm not hating on it because I think Julie Donaldson is going to do a hell of a job. I think Jason Wright is going to do a hell of a job.
You had him on the show.
Listen, I believe that's right. He was a very impressive dude. Obviously, you've got Ron Rivera. We know his history. We respect Ron Rivera, and we wish him nothing but the best because he's a really good man, okay? But I'm saying that, along with Alex Smith's return and the benching of Dwayne Haskins, we're 6 weeks into the NFL season, and that is all we have to talk about with the Washington Redskins. I mean, this is Washington football team.
Right.
This is pathetic.
Is beating the Giants anything to write home about?
No.
Right.
Not really.
But the Eagles just took first place doing it.
I understand it. The whole
Cowboys can reclaim it.
Hey, what's their name? It's the Giants. What's their name? Well, it's the Eagles. What's their names? It's the Cowboys. What's the Washington football team? The only reason we know they're in D.C. is because we know football. They haven't even had the decency to highlight the fact that they're in D.C. instead of the state of Washington in the Pacific Northwest.
They should do.
I mean, you got to be kidding me.
They should do the X for the name. Like, you know, Cassius Clay was Cassius X before he became Muhammad Ali. They should be the Washington X's.
I understand that. But the bottom line is that's pretty damn pathetic.
But it's not about – you're talking about Washington. We're talking about the Cowboys.
And I'm saying the Cowboys, it means nothing to be – what is beating a nameless team seemingly bereft of talent and leadership? What does that really mean? Especially when you're in the worst conference in the division in the NFL, the worst division in the NFL, maybe in history.
You are doing to the American public what you accuse me of doing. This is all misdirection. You just want to go off on Washington. This is about the Cowboys, Southern Steve. This is about the Cowboys. And the NFC East is about the Cowboys versus Eagles.
We'll
the Eagles just took over first place with a win.
Hey, buddy.
And now the Cowboys can reclaim it with a win.
Listen to me, buddy. It's my bad. I apologize for not pointing out that this is about the Cowboys. This is not about that team with no name in D.C. area. I mean, it's Chocolate City. I take pride in that city. I love it. I love the District of Columbia. For those of you out there who didn't know what D.C. stood for, because certainly the Washington football team did not tell you. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. They're members of the worst division in the history of the National Football League, and they happen to be in last place. In the worst division in the history of the NFL, they're in last place. As far as I'm concerned, poor Julie Donaldson, poor Jason Wright, their reputations are being tarnished because they're associated with this franchise. At least give them a name. Call them the Cougars. Call them the Warriors. Do some Washington Warriors. That ain't bad. Do something. Come on. To not even have a name, it just shows the lack of leadership, the lack of vision.
That's not fair. And then you know what he said?
We might keep it that way next year.
If you take two years to name a team, that better be one hell of a name. If we wait 2 years for that name, oh my God, that's the greatest name we've ever heard.
I don't know if we'll be saying that much, but look, Washington's on the bottom. Dallas trying to take the top spot. Andy Dalton needs to play better.
You do
Ezekiel
understand.
Elliott needs to play better.
You do understand
better,
that when you say they're on the bottom, It's not the bottom of their division.
Oh, yeah,
it's the bottom because it's the bottom of the worst division in the history of the National Football League.
It's not good.
They're 6-19 collectively in the NFC East. It's 6-19-1 after 6 weeks. I mean, that's just horrible.
And none of those wins are by Washington.
Well, guys, look, Ezekiel Elliott, a lot is riding on his shoulders also. He's not doing very well this season. I mean, he already has four fumbles already this season. Coming into the season, he only had five career fumbles over the course of four seasons. So a lot needs to change for Dallas. We won't even worry about Washington because I don't really think we have much.
No one's worried about Washington.
Better be a great name.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, better late than never. The Big Ten kicking off its college football season tonight with number 14 Wisconsin hosting Illinois. Then on Saturday afternoon, the full schedule gets underway, including number 5 Ohio State hosting Nebraska, number 8 Penn State at Indiana, and number 18 Michigan at number 21 Minnesota on ABC, also the site of College Game Day. And with that, we welcome in our ESPN college football analyst, also our good friend, although we missed the montage with Stephen A. this morning, Tim Tebow. How you doing, Tim?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
We don't need the montage. He's my friend. The world knows this by now. There's no montage necessary, you know, and I want to say I appreciate you being in a better locale. Last week, you looked like you were trapped in some kind of closet or whatever. Now you look like you're chilling in the living room. I see some sunshine seeping in there and stuff like that. So that's the Tim Tebow I know. Only thing missing is the clear tan.
No, he got the button unbuttoned. He's still looking like he's living the life.
Had to do a little bit more work this week inside, so couldn't get outside as much, Stephen. I apologize. Maybe next week I can get a little bit more sun.
That's justification. Yeah. That's justification. I understand.
All right, Tim. Well, the Big Ten is back starting this weekend. It's very funny that, you know, Nebraska was really the only team in the conference that wanted to have a season, and now they get hit first off with Ohio State. Lucky them. But let's talk about Ohio State.
Yeah, that didn't work out well for them.
It did not work out well for them. But that's,
careful,
you know what?
What you wish for.
Exactly. So what do you think, Tim? What do you think the capability of Ohio State and Justin Fields is to not only make a deep playoff run, but also make it to the title game?
Oh, I think they have a legit chance to not just get to the playoffs, but win the national championship. This team is deep, and they have a lot of veteran leaders on this team. Urban recruited so well, and then when Ryan Day came in, Ryan Day's recruited well. And you have a leader like Justin Fields, who truly has a chip on his shoulder. And every time around this young man, I am more and more impressed with him. It's not enough to just be good. It's not enough for him to be really good. He has a chip on his shoulder. He wants to prove something, that last year losing to Clemson was a fluke, that he is one of the best players, if not the best player in the country. I think they're led by Coach Day. That's a great coach. And Justin Fields, and then they're surrounded by first and second round talent on this team. They truly have a chance. If they get momentum going into the year, they truly have a chance to win a championship.
Listen, they talk about, you know, some of these predictors say no conference has a better chance of placing two teams in the semifinals of the playoffs than the Big Ten. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think it's hard. I think when you look at the Big Ten West, there's not a team that really pops out to say, you know, Wisconsin's the highest ranked, and And when you get to a championship game, is another win against them going to be enough? And I don't necessarily think so. And so you look at Ohio State, I think they're getting in, but who's that second-ranked team? I think for the best scenario for the Big Ten is to be a Penn State, because I just don't trust Michigan. I don't even know if they're going to win this weekend against Minnesota. And so I don't know who that number two team would be. I do think that the Big Ten is by far the second best conference in the country. I think them and the SEC are the two best conferences in the country. And I think both of them will be competing, get a number two team in. But I have to see something from a number two team. And is that a Penn State? Is it a Michigan? Is it a Wisconsin? Someone's got to step up to say that they're going to be a lot better than they've been in the past. If not, I think you're looking at a Georgia or a Florida or someone like that that's going to be competing for that fourth spot.
Okay, well, a lot of top 25 teams in action this week, Tim. Who should be on upset alert?
I just mentioned them. I think it's Michigan. Yeah, I think this Minnesota team is for real. Everything that we've seen about them, even the offseason, everything that's happened, is they're a team that talks about loving one another. They played really well. Yeah, they had a couple losses at the end of last year, but they're recruiting. They're competing with some of the big-time Big Ten teams in recruiting. They're getting more talent. Yes, they lost a few really good players, but Michigan's got to show up tomorrow night. If not, Minnesota could truly put an L on their schedule starting week one.
Hey, let me say, listen, I'm not going to accuse you of sounding like Paul Feinbaum, but he was right on the money in my estimation, because I don't know of anyone more critical of Jim Harbaugh than Paul Feinbaum has been over the last few years. Last year, they were 9-4. The year before that, 10-3. The year before that, 8-5. Certainly no appearances in the playoffs. We get all of that, and more was expected from Mr. Jim Harbaugh. What are your feelings about him? You're just starting off talking about the Big Ten, and you're already saying they're on the clock, upset watch. Minnesota might be that team. Excuse me, is that not an indictment against Harbaugh to some degree and what's not happening at the University of Michigan with its football program?
Well, it could be taken that way. It could also be saying Minnesota's doing a great job and PJ Fleck is a really good coach that is building a program, not just a team, but a program. They're very different. I think Harbaugh is a good coach. I want to give him credit. But would I say he's an elite coach in college football? I cannot say that. There is nothing that they have done to say that they're an elite program. They're a good program. They have a lot of history. They have some good players, but they have not shown to be elite in elite football games. They have not been able to compete against Ohio State. They have not been able to win the big time games. And so they're good. I'll give them credit for being good. Elite? No, not yet.
Don't tell that to their fans. They are deluded about their position, I think, in the constellation of the college football world. Heisman watch, Tim. Takes one to know one, right? If it's not Trevor Lawrence this year, who's it going to be?
I think Mac Jones has a real shot. You know, no one wanted to talk about him. They always want to talk. You're losing Tua, one of the most accurate quarterbacks in college football history. But Mac Jones has come in, and he is fantastic. And I love him because he has ice water in his veins, and the moment's not too big for him. Down at halftime against Georgia, it's okay. Guess what? I'm going to throw for a 90-yard TD to start right off the bat. Like, this kid, I think he throws the best deep ball in college football and one of the best deep balls in the last 10 years. And he isn't a great athlete, but he's a great competitor that is extremely accurate and has freaks outside. And if they're able to run the table and win the SEC championship, I think he'll have a legit chance at competing with Trevor in this Heisman race.
Tim, let me switch to pro football because you know something about that as well. Wanted to get your opinion real quick about the Miami Dolphins electing to insert Tua Tagovailoa into the starting lineup. I'm looking at Justin Herbert and what he's been doing for the Chargers, and I think that had a lot to do with Miami saying even though Ryan Fitzpatrick has completed 70% of his passes and was balling for a 3-3 team, it's time to bring Tua in. What were your thoughts when you first heard the news that he was going to be the new starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins?
Well, I got to tell you, in being friends with Tua, I was happy for him. I think Fitzy was playing pretty well. I think he was having a pretty good season. And really, where my first thoughts went were, is Tua ready based on health, not based on his ability to compete? I think he's been ready for that for the last couple of years. But is he ready? Is his health? Is his hip? Is his leg? Is everything ready to go? And I'm sure that it is. And so I'm excited. I think Tua is. I would say he's the most gifted passer I've ever seen in college football, and I'm excited to see how that translates in the NFL because I think it's going to translate really well.
All right, well, Tua in action this weekend, as is the Big Ten making their return for the first time this season. Tim, thank you so much.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
An anonymous agent told The Athletic that it's actually LeBron James who recruits players for agent Rich Paul in Clutch Sports. The agent also said that a large number of players recruited by LeBron on behalf of Paul have been mismanaged. Another anonymous agent praising LeBron for the way he's helped set up Paul and Maverick Carter, as well as for the public stands that he takes on issues. Stephen A., what's your reaction to these anonymous comments that are being made about not only LeBron James, but Rich Paul?
I think it's jealousy. I think it's people crying over spilt milk. And, you know, Max and I talked about it, and there's nothing new here. We both agree with this for the most part, Max. Listen, here's the deal. If laws are being broken and rules are being violated, that's a conversation that I'm willing to listen to. When you're doing the same thing others do or have tried to do, you're just doing it better, I don't want to hear a damn word. That's really my mentality about this. As somebody who knows Rich Paul, who has spoken to him on many occasions, one of the things I never hesitate to highlight is how bright this young brother is. Yes, he's friends with LeBron James. Yes, LeBron James has a lot to do with the initial success for him, Maverick Carter, Randy Mims, who's LeBron's right-hand guy and just does everything for LeBron. Let's be very, very clear. The Adam Mendelsons of the world and others who have come into LeBron James' life and do an extraordinary job of elevating while protecting his brand, they're all to be commended. But I can't say enough about Rich Paul and Maverick Carter. You speak to anyone in corporate America that has had to deal with Maverick Carter, they talk about the brilliance of this dude. He's just smart as hell. He's a visionary. He's a giver as well. He's highly intelligent. But if you talk to Rich Paul about the NBA and being a part of the NBA and being an agent, this brother doesn't miss anything. Now, you can debate, and I've had agents debate about who did the better contract, that if they had this client, they would have got him a better number. They would have got him more guaranteed dollars and all of that stuff. You know, listen, they were saying that when David Falk, who's a phenomenal agent, had Michael Jordan and Alonzo Mourning and ding, Patrick ding, ding. Ewing and stuff like that. They said it when he had it. I remember when Bill Strickland was an agent representing the Rasheed Wallace of the world and others back in the 80s and 90s. Bill Strickland was an outstanding agent. The late Henry Thomas, God rest his wonderful soul, represented Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. He was a phenomenal agent. Bill Duffy has been a star as an agent for many years. Aaron Goodwin, Eric Goodwin, these are elite agents that know what the hell they're doing. That doesn't mean anybody can sit up there and look at Rich Paul and take away from what he's been doing. Rich Paul, LeBron James, one of the great, great things he's done, Max, and I'll hand it over to you after I say this. LeBron James didn't give to his friends. He set a path for them to make their own way, so they could earn their stripes and therefore earn the right to represent him, knowing what they were doing, cultivating resources, networking, gaining and elevating the level of knowledge, astuteness, shrewdness, et cetera, et cetera. And now they're pretty freaking elite at what they do. LeBron James deserves credit for giving his brothers the opportunity to do those things, but they deserve more credit for taking the bull by the horn and mastering their craft the way that they have. There are a few elite agents, and I'm going to always give love to the brothers in the agency business because nobody else does. So I'm going to do it. And I mentioned a few of them, the Duffys, the Goodwin brothers, and all of them. I mean, listen, and boy, do I miss Henry Thomas. But I'm here to tell you something right now. Rich Paul is special. He's a special, special talent at what he does because he works on it every single day. And he deserves credit where credit is due. not criticism or cynicism from those who wish they were in his position.
So the mismanagement part you think is just someone hating on him? It has really
without
validity.
Question. Okay. Without question.
I think you can analyze whether how many clients or which ones have been managed well or not as well, and rank Rich Paul, if you're another agent, where you would like compared to whomever else. But yeah. I want to get to what Stephen A. is talking about. I think it was Lou Weiss, or one of these legendary agents in the business, with the following quote. I don't remember, so
sure.
He was asked, when was the first time you realized you had a conflict of interest? And he said, the moment I signed my second client. Right? Like, this is the nature of the business. So, David Falk has MJ. Rob Pelinka had Kobe. Rich Paul has LeBron, and vice versa. MJ had Falk, and Kobe had Pelinka, and LeBron has Rich Paul. Because really, those agents work for the players, I just said. The power brokers in the NBA, since Jordan, have been Michael Jordan, Rob Pelinka, and now Rich Paul, right? And Maverick Carter. And they're and those are the players are the ones calling the shots. The biggest, most powerful, best player in the game, who's usually an extremely marketable wing who wins lots of championships, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, runs the league. And of course they recruit for they want their agent to amass power. And the way their agent amasses power is by recruiting and signing other players. Now, on the pecking order of that agent's priorities, who do you think is on top? Duh. It's Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant for Pelinka, LeBron James for Rich Paul. Of course, it's their biggest client. It's the biggest piece of business. All agents are conflicted. This is the nature of the business. The best ones have a lot of pieces on the chessboard, and they figure out moves where even if every move doesn't always benefit every client, sometimes a client gets a little bit screwed, they're with that agent because they feel that a rising tide lifts all boats and that it's not about every tactical maneuver either helping or hurting them. It's about, in the long run, strategically being with this agent helps them. This is the nature of the business. And agents who are now complaining about Rich Paul are crying. Every agent wants the most powerful guy to be in Rich Paul's position. They're crying that he has him.
They're not just crying because of that position, and this is no knock against Rich Paul. Let's just also understand, if you remember, the NCAA tried to institute some rule over a year ago, and we ultimately called it the Rich Paul rule because they basically tried to make it so you were required to have a four-year bachelor's degree before you could represent, you know, players and stuff like that. And Rich Paul went ballistic and wrote an op-ed. And obviously that stuff, they just shredded that stuff because they realized how racist it was, the NCAA, I'm talking about, to do such a thing, to require, you know, that this guy has a four-year degree of college education. I have no doubt that there were agents behind the scene that were pushing for that in hopes that it would compromise somebody like a Rich Paul. Because but understand why. Their whole thinking is that if we had to go through this, why shouldn't he? What have I said about Hall of Famers all the time who complain about the modern day athlete? Stephen A., don't let them off the hook. You wouldn't have let us off the hook. We had to meet certain standards in order to receive love and support. Don't sit up there and make it easier for folks. So you have those people that look at Rich Paul that way. It doesn't make them right.
Question.
But it's not as simple as, I'm just hating on them.
Question. How much of this do you think, because it's unknowable to me, but I'm curious, has to do with the fact that we are talking about an African-American super agent right now, LeBron James's guy.
Yes.
Versus, I mentioned Falk and Pelinka. Pelinka flew more under the radar, but those were the most powerful guys because they had the most powerful client.
I'll tell you, it has something to do with it, because one of the mistakes that I think the Rich Pauls of the world and other agents of African-American descent make is they assume it's other African-Americans talking about them. It's a lot of those white agents that talk about them, too. and they talk about it behind the scenes to people they're comfortable with, who they've ingratiated themselves with in the media and beyond, and vice versa. And as a result, they talk amongst themselves, and then ultimately that trickles down to other folks, and you thinking it's black on black crime per se, where it's black agents just talking about Rich Paul. I'm not saying that there are not some who haven't in the past, but trust you me, they ain't the only ones. You got a lot of people on very high levels that try to get at the Rich Pauls of the world. Here's the difference. Rich Paul, look, I mean, first of all, he's probably, I don't even know how old he is, but he looks like he's a teenager, for crying out loud. He looks like a kid, but he's smart as hell, okay? And he knows what he's doing. But here's the other thing against him. He's not Maverick Carter. And in that regard, I mean this. Maverick Carter, do you ever meet this guy? I mean, when is he not smiling? When does he not look like this inviting figure that can ingratiate himself with anything or anyone at any given moment? I have been, you know, I've been in this business for 25 years, and I obviously do a lot of things other than just this. I cannot walk into any industry. I have not in my career have walked in any industry in America that has had dealings with Maverick Carter, and they don't talk about how much they love him. He's one of those guys where he's almost impossible to dislike.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me and ask so you something.
What I'm saying is, because they're both tight with LeBron, obviously, sometimes they're comparing him because he looks a little bit more polished than Rich Paul. But if you talk to Rich Paul, I assure you, he's very polished.
As someone in the media, you know, especially you in the NBA.
Right.
A lot of times they want to use us as useful idiots, right? By us, I mean just people with a platform in the press.
Yeah.
And so they'll feed you information. It's half-truths. It could be a lie. Mm-hmm. And it always astounds me. It's like, wait a minute. We're going to be around for a while. Why would you want to establish a relationship just for a short-term gain when you want an ongoing relationship? I've never spoken to Rich Paul and heard something that was not true. Or I found to be bad information.
Right.
And I think...
Same here.
Yeah. And so he's got the most powerful guy. He, I think, has good relationships with people in the media. And if you're crying about the fact that he's got the most powerful guy and you don't, it's... Right. Especially anonymously. Come on.
Let me close by saying this. We look... And put me on camera when I say this, please, because it's very important what I'm about to say. We spent years looking at those two, at what LeBron has done for them. LeBron can't play forever. And when we think about the future, it's going to be what those guys do for LeBron James. Because their cachet continues to elevate. And they continue to make smart decisions and make right connections that's only going to elevate and buffer
not LeBron,
the brand,
you know who it is, Stephen A?
Of James.
It's AD. Because what people are going to look for is, okay, so really the most powerful client, this goes for all agents everywhere basically as a rule, most powerful client's going to be on the top of the pecking order, right? So did Rich Paul do for LeBron or did he do for AD? Did he figure out moves that helped everybody, right? People are going to be looking at AD. I think AD's in a pretty good position right now. He went from a guy who couldn't really advance in the playoffs to a guy who just won a championship in L.A. and is now considered by many the second best player in basketball.
Well, you're thinking about it along those lines, and I can respect your opinion because you're talking about basketball. I'm saying those two are going to be so much bigger. They're going to transcend beyond the sport. And that's where.
Haven't they already?
I'm saying, but they're doing a lot more. Stay tuned.
Got an HBO show.
LeBron James is such a smart guy, too. He knows exactly what he's doing, and I feel like other players would trust him and want to follow suit.
But they have made him proud.
Absolutely.
Because he looks more brilliant because of them.
Absolutely.
Can't ignore that.
Well, he's definitely brilliant. Not only does he rep LeBron and AD, but Clutch Sports represents six players who are on this year's championship-winning Lakers squad. So
they ain't the only ones.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of great – there's a few brothers out there, Duffy's and the Goodwin twins. I'm going to give them love, too. They are elite themselves.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Dez Bryant may be making a comeback. The Ravens have scheduled an evaluation for the former Dallas Cowboys receiver, and if they like what they see, they're going to sign him to their practice squad, sources confirmed to our Ed Werder. Bryant hasn't played in an NFL game since December of 2017. Ryan Clark back with us. Stephen A., would Dez Bryant signing a deal with the Ravens mean anything for him?
Listen, whether it'll mean anything for them remains to be seen, because we haven't seen him in a few years. The last time he played was 2017. That means 2018, 2019, and now 6 games into 2020. It's been 2.5 years, so we understand that we don't know. What I would tell you is that I would love for him to be on an NFL roster. I would love for him to make it, because here's the deal. He was once a star in this league. He obviously fell off a little bit, and then he got let go by the Dallas Cowboys. And what really rakes my nerves about it is that he got a bad rap. Now, we know he tried to come back with New Orleans and then he got hurt, and we get all of that. But my big issue was that it wasn't just about football with him. He was perceived as problematic. And the Dallas Cowboys contributed, obviously, to letting that kind of stuff leak out about him. And that's what rubbed me the wrong way. So if you're somebody that you're spectating the Dallas Cowboys, it's two extremes. Okay, so we got a guy in Dak Prescott that's the model citizen, can ball, took you to the playoffs a couple of times, won a playoff game for you, had numbers comparable to Tony Romo, but somehow, some way, you couldn't reach an accord with him. And granted, you offered him a boatload of money, but he wanted less years. You wanted to lock him up for more years. Bottom line is, you couldn't reach an accord with him. So that was a reason for that not to work out in his favor on a long-term basis. And in the case of Dez Bryant, he got some money as a wide receiver, but in the same breath, he wasn't, you know, he was perceived as being a malcontent, somebody that wasn't ideal for the locker room and things of this nature. So you decide not to bring him back. It just seems to me that his reputation was hurt by the Dallas Cowboys. And so for me, I love the idea of him getting back into the NFL. I hope he's good enough. I hope he shows what he can do. I hope it's good enough for him to be on an NFL roster, in an NFL lineup, and contributing to an NFL winning team. That's my wish for him, because I would hate that his career ended the way that it did. The last thing we see was him being let go by the Cowboys. Sure, for sure.
It'd be a feel-good story if he could make it back to the NFL. I agree. I think he's good enough to play, I would assume. I haven't seen him recently, obviously, play. But if he does make it back, it's as just a guy. You know, I hear what you're saying, Stephen A., about unfair treatment. My mind goes to, like, T.O. T.O. could have still played in the league, and he's one of the greatest who ever did it. He was 5-time all-team, all-pro, first team, like, you know, 5 times. He was a great receiver, the best player on the field in a Super Bowl that his team lost, for which he was criticized for playing on one leg, and looked like he could still play into his 40s and couldn't get a job in the league, right? I feel like he was really treated unfairly. Dez Bryant was a top 5 receiver for about 3 years before he started falling off. And so he was excellent at his best, and he didn't have a job when he probably should have, so it'll feel good if he comes back. But it's been a long time since he was an impact player, and it's not like we're talking about one of the all-time greats. I'd feel great for him if he get back to the league, but I can't pretend that I'm overly interested in the story.
Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, this is one of those. I'm with Stephen A. and Max. This is more about us wanting something good to happen for Dez Bryant, knowing that he was kind of let go by the Dallas Cowboys when he was on the decline and also couldn't get a job after that. And then once signing with the Saints, he has the Achilles injury and he's gone. I think those things make you want him to have another opportunity, maybe get an opportunity to close the last chapter on this part of his career or this part of his life. But when you look at what it does for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, I don't really believe it does a lot. I believe it gives them another possession receiver, maybe a guy who can catch some 50-50 balls in traffic, but they need a true number one. They need a guy who can run the entire route tree, someone who can put fear into defenders on outside of the numbers, and also somebody that they can get easy throws and catches for Lamar Jackson, other
only
than
there was
Andrews
someone like that out
inside
there
as a tight end. Well, we know who the someone like that out there is. And, you know, along with the Seattle Seahawks, I don't know if the Baltimore Ravens will be in play for Antonio Brown. But like Max said, like Stephen A. said, we both, or all three of us, would love for Dez Bryant to get this opportunity, for Dez Bryant to play. But I don't think this changes the circumstances of the Baltimore Ravens offense or Baltimore Ravens as a team as it pertains to them being contenders in the AFC.
Okay. All right. Well, from one potential feel-good story to something that was not a feel-good story at all whatsoever. In fact, it was flat-out embarrassing for Daniel Jones last night. Now, other than the infamous butt fumble, of course, while racing 80 yards towards the end zone, Daniel Jones tripped in the open field, going down before any opponent could even touch him. The Giants would go on to score a touchdown on that drive, but it was a moment that drew some laughs as well as, you know, some sympathy. Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes tweeted, I mean, I can't even say anything because I would never be able to run that far either. All right, garnering a little bit of sympathy. We'll see if we can get some from this guy over here. Max, what did you think of that trip last night?
Daniel Jones, you know, other than Lamar Jackson, has reached more top speeds during runs than any quarterback in the NFL. He's fast. You know what the problem is, RC? I don't think he believed he's as fast as he actually is. He heard number 21 coming and tried to go faster. He didn't need to. RC, he was running fast enough. He had the touchdown. But he heard those steps coming. It was like, does this one go to 11? Nah, that one stays right at 10, which was fast enough. Trust your speed, young Mr. Jones, and you're plenty fast enough.
Bro, in 2 weeks, think about this. In 2 weeks on the same zone reads, though, Daniel Jones has really gotten out on people. And I'm talking about DBs, everybody. Now, he was running, like, he was over 21 miles per hour. That's the same speed that Lamar Jackson ran last week. Derrick Henry ran against the Houston Texans. So, for Daniel Jones, now, this is uncharted territory for a quarterback. And the way that he was moving, there was no way he was going to score. He started tumbling 15 yards before he fell.
Slow motion.
And whenever you start seeing a quarterback's or a runner's feet start flailing outwards like this, he is in trouble. He didn't believe he could run that fast. He was so excited he was about to score and he didn't want to get caught. My man lost control. But I'm going to give him props for running that fast and being the best rusher on the New York Giants football team.
I'm going to give him props for this.
Wow.
I'm going to give him props for this. We ain't seen a quarterback run like that for the New York Giants in maybe a quarter century.
Ever.
And if not ever. I mean, Phil Simms didn't do it.
Ever.
Jeff Hostetler didn't do it. Eli Manning damn sure didn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, who's the running back? Who's the quarterback playing for the New York Giants that ever came close to running like that? So, I mean, we can laugh at him because he tumbled down. But in the end, I'm going to give him props for having that kind of speed. And if I'm Joe Judge, guess what? I'm going to utilize him to scramble out of the pocket a little bit more and run the damn football. Because obviously in today's day and age, if you can run a little bit, you can be more effective. Here's what's not funny about Daniel Jones. How'd the game end? Strip sack.
Yeah.
This brother in about 18, 19 games.
Holding that ball.
Has 23 times now he's fumbled the football. He cannot hold on to the football to save his life. If you blow in his direction, you could probably get the ball out of his hands.
Man,
that's a damn
from
that's
complimenting
a damn
him to shutting he's him got, down.
He, let I me didn't think you. Carson Wentz was better than him yesterday, except when they needed him most, Carson Wentz threw a great pass, listen, and Daniel Jones coughed it up.
All you need to know is that everybody in the, associated with the New York Giants is hoping they lose every game because somebody told them to sever for Trevor, and that would happen to be Max Kellerman. And the bottom line is, it's because you want a different quarterback. You want a different quarterback because clearly he's not the guy. And if you look at Daniel Jones and you see that he's not the guy, the number one reason is because he can't hold on to the damn football.
Yep, because he does a lot of things that you like, but you got to be better. And the Giants line is a mess. And the kid they drafted at left tackle, who's good, Andrew Thomas, he might be good. Like, it's a skills position, really, the tackle spot. And a lot of times guys aren't good right out of college. So he might wind up being good, but the line's a mess. No Saquon, no dynamism in the passing game. Engram can't catch.
As a defense, you know,
it's a mess.
If you get to him, he's going to cough up the ball at some point.
Well,
you
we know the NFC East is just a complete and utter mess. Stephen A., I'll start with you. Do you think that this division, any team in it, has a shot at winning even one playoff game?
Actually, yes. And if I saw years ago.
What are you talking about, Stephen A.?
No, if I saw years ago when New Orleans has a stellar season, but Seattle gets in a postseason with a 7-9 record, but they get to host a home game, that's the problem. Because you know what? No matter how much you stick, it's one game and it's going to be on your home turf, especially if crowds are allowed back at that particular moment in time. Any given Sunday applies. Of course, I wouldn't favor and bet my money on it, but is it possible? Yeah, because the NFL has that stupid rule that allows
you
not only to be in the postseason, but to have a home field game.
The winner of the NFC East is going to get curb stomped in their first playoff game.
Okay.
So, Stephen A., who will get the one win if you had to pick a team?
First of all, I don't think any of them will win. You're saying, is it possible?
Yeah,
I said,
right.
Yes, but I don't think it's going to
happen.
Well,
anything's possible,
though.
But
I would tell you
the Eagles.
All right, Ryan, what do you say?
It's the Eagles. If the Eagles get a little healthy with Carson Wentz, if he gets hot, they can beat another team in the playoffs.
I apologize. Especially in the home game. I was thinking of Cowboys with Dak. I don't mean with Andy Dalton.
No, I think the Cowboys, you know what?
It's the Eagles.
I favor the Cowboys to beat Washington, so they'll have a half-game lead. I'm going to ride the Cowboys.
Yeah,
just because they don't have
no
a tie.
Way, Max.
All right, guys. Well, you're saying there's a chance. There is still a little bit of hope left for the NFC East. So we will leave you with that, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan Clark, Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Charlie.
Cowboys,
Arnold.
Congratulations
guys,
in advance.
Thanks for hanging with us. Hope you have a good Friday.
You beat a nameless team.
Have a good one.
Take it easy and enjoy the games this weekend.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.